Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Lord, we thank you so much that you are our God, our Lord, our Savior. And we pray that if there's anyone here today without that assurance, that the Holy Spirit would draw them to salvation today through faith and repentance. And that each one of us would draw closer to you and love you even more and know you even better. Bless this church. Bless each person who walks through these doors. And use each one to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Domenico asked me to preach on the church at Sardis. And when he first asked me that, I looked at the church at Sardis. And I thought, well, it's a good thing he asked me months in advance. But the closer I got to this time, the more excited I was about the opportunity. Because I think it's God's timing and God's will. But when you preach about the seven churches in the book of Revelation, there are a lot of different approaches that you can take. Some Bible scholars will emphasize that it's seven phases of the church's history, from the first century to the 21st century. Other Bible scholars will emphasize that it's seven different types of churches back in John the Apostle's day. Other scholars will say it's seven different types of churches for all time, today as much as in the first century. And there are other approaches too. And I don't know what approaches have been used so far in this series, but I'm going to share with you today, by the grace of God, what the Church of Sardis means to the church in the 21st century. And you probably know already that with the seven churches, some of the churches get pretty good reviews, some of the churches not so good, and some of the churches in between. In this one, and I'm reading from the King James Version, it says, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." We're off to a flying start here, because Jesus is speaking here to the church of Sardis. And if I read this correctly, saying, you've got quite a reputation there, but it's unearned. I'm not as impressed with you as you are with you. You've got some problems that we need to correct. You got some ailments that need to be healed. You got some sins that need to be repented of. Jesus is always honest. There's nothing he wants more than a pure bride, a clean bride, a holy bride. This is so very timely because I think one of the biggest mistakes we make in Western civilization today is we measure the success of a church according to the world's standards rather than according to God's standards. I think that's a horrible, horrible mistake. Sometimes when I run into friends, they say, well, how many people did you have in church last Sunday? I've learned to say, all of them. They all had to listen to me. But they measure success by numbers. And if you're going to measure success by numbers, then a rock concert is more successful than a church service. And Jesus says, seek to enter through the narrow gate, because broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. He says, many are called, but few are chosen. The sad truth of the matter is this, and I'm not saying this to be funny, I'm saying this to be totally serious. The world is worldly. The world cares about the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The church cares about the things of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so they have different standards of measurement, different standards of success, different goals, different priorities. Everything's completely different. It would probably shock a lot of people who don't know the Bible to know that the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that doesn't mean we don't love the people. God so loved the people in the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that any people who believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves people. He created them. He gave them life. His desire is to give them eternal life. But he doesn't like the way the world's operating. He doesn't like the way the world is rebelling against him, against his word, and against what's right. And so the message to the angel of the church in Sardis is, I know you have a name that you live, but you're dead. They were measuring themselves as a very successful church. I don't know if it was because of numbers or the offering or the music program or the youth program or the preaching or what, but they thought they had it all. And they were deceiving themselves. The Bible says in Proverbs, there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus talks about a day when the true church, the true believers, will say, Lord, when did we ever feed anyone in your name? When did we ever clothe anyone in your name? Visit anyone in prison? They didn't even realize they were serving God half the time. He said, whenever you did it to me, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. The true church is led by the Holy Spirit of God and directed by the Word of God. And Jesus didn't choose 144,000 disciples. He chose 12. And the number of people following Jesus grew as word got around. He was handing out free fish and free bread, but got smaller and smaller as he changed the message to Calvary. If anyone would be my disciple, my follower, my student, let him take up the cross daily and follow me. Take up the cross daily. That's quite an order. But God loves us so much that he wants us to go down the right road and end up in the right place with a right heart and a right life. And so he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. He says, you've heard the word of God. It is a church after all. You heard the word of God. You've heard preaching. You've worshiped, but you've slid away. You've gotten away. You've imitated the world too much, and you haven't listened to the Holy Spirit enough. Now, that's not true of every church, but it's true of an awful lot of churches today, I think. And I don't want to be negative and emphasize that, but Jesus here is giving a wake-up call, isn't he? He's giving a wake-up call, and out of love, he says, wake up. Don't deceive yourself. I was thinking this morning when I was in Sunday school, you know, I'd rather be in this Sunday school class than in Buckingham Palace. I've been to Buckingham Palace, but they didn't let me in. But I've been there. But to a lot of people, it would be a real status symbol to say I went to Buckingham Palace and I had supper with the king and his wife and, you know, some of those adorable grandchildren and stuff. I'd rather be here for Sunday school. You know why? Because this is holy ground. This is holy ground. Wherever two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, there is he in the midst of them. In a church building, the church is the people, not the building. You know that, and I know that. But the church building is similar to the temple or the tabernacle in the sense that it's a place designed for people to meet and worship God and serve God and hear from God. So it's holy ground. You're not going to get that at 7-Eleven. You are going to get it at church. And to meet with the living God, to meet with the real God, to hear the voice of the real God, what could possibly be greater than that? What could possibly be more important than that? A lot of times I run into friends and say, well, I don't know if there's a God or not. And I tell them this, I say, you can know. These things are written that you may know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and believing that you might have life in his name. That's in the Gospel of John. We can know we have eternal life. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit within us, old hymn, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That God was present in Sunday school this morning in a powerful way. He didn't say, oh, I'm only going to come if you have 100 people. He said, I'm going to come wherever there's a humble heart and people seeking truth and people loving one another and people loving God. And he made himself manifest in a powerful way. And I just wish more people could have seen it. I just wish more people could have heard it. You know, if the New York, and don't take this personally. I'll tell you when to take things personally, okay? Don't take this personally. But if the New York Yankees and the Buffalo Bills were playing a doubleheader, I know the Bills don't usually play a doubleheader, but if the New York Yankees and the Buffalo Bills were playing a doubleheader today in Rochester, do you think the average fan would go to one game or both? They'd go to both, wouldn't they? Because they want to see as much as they can. Why is it when it comes to church, we think one service is enough when we have two opportunities to meet with God? And I'm not just talking about Spencer Burr Bible Church, I'm talking about every church. Every church. When I was younger, you know, most Bible-believing churches had Sunday school, they had morning service, they had Sunday night, they had Wednesday night. They had stuff during the week. And it still wasn't enough. We wanted more. But the world has crept into many, many churches. I thank God for this church. Understand now, I'm not criticizing this church. God's here. He's working. He's giving you tremendous gifts. And he's doing a wonderful work. He doesn't measure success by numbers or money. He measures success by faithfulness. And there's some mega churches out there. Some of them might be good. I just haven't seen them yet, but they might be. But there's some mega churches out there that emphasize the wrong things. They flatter people. They preach an aren't you wonderful gospel. They make people feel good about their sin. And they draw crowds. I used to tell people where I preached at an adult care facility, if I put up a little poster by the elevators and said, anyone that comes to my Bible study this Sunday, I'm going to give them a $10 bill, we'd be packed. Every resident there would be there, whether with a walker or a wheelchair or on their own or whatever, but they'd be there. But if I put a poster up by the elevators and said, come to church today and learn how you can know for sure that you have eternal life, that your sins are forgiven, that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he loves you with a love that's immeasurable, that he's working in your life even when you don't know it. Come and find out these things. I probably wouldn't get one extra person because of the apathy and the worldliness and the lack of spiritual hunger. I hate to say it, but we're kind of spoiled in this country. Would anybody possibly agree with me on that? We're kind of spoiled. We need a crisis or two to get us back in church. We need a crisis or two to remind us how much we need God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Now, here's the Lord Jesus Christ telling a church to repent. The church is supposed to be telling the world to repent. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ telling a bunch of people playing church, you need to get serious about this. This is holy. This is supernatural. This is more important than anything else. 2,000 years from now, it's not going to matter whether the Bills got to the Super Bowl or not. 2,000 years from now, it's not going to matter whether we're popular in 2023 or not. 2,000 years from now, it's not going to matter what people thought of you. But it is going to matter what you thought of Jesus Christ. It is going to matter if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is going to matter if you knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. No matter how good you think heaven is, it's far better because we can't even imagine it. And so Jesus says, remember how thou hast received and heard. I believe God does everything on purpose. I don't believe there's any accidents with him or coincidences. And it just so happened that yesterday I had supper with a friend who was in the prayer group that led me to the Lord in 1971. And it was the first time I'd seen him in probably 30 or 40 years. And only once in 50 years had I seen him. That was at his father's funeral. But other than that, I hadn't seen him over half a century. But it was God's timing that the night before I'm preaching at Spencerport Bible Church, he brings this young man, well, he's not young now, he's old like me, but he was young at the time. He brings us together for another time of fellowship so I can remember that it was a faithful Christian that brought me to faith in Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for faithful Christians, how would people hear? How would people know? How would people have fellowship? How would people discover their spiritual gifts? We need one another. We need one another so badly that God brings us together. Remember what you've received and heard and hold fast to that. A lot of people, the day they're saved, the day they're born again, they say, oh, I'll never forget this. Some people it's a quiet thing. Some people it's with bells and train whistles and other things. With me, it was bells and train whistles. God knew I needed something to get my attention. But I vowed I'd never forget. And the day God saved me, I said, Lord, if I ever doubt anything about you or anything about your word, I promise you I'm going to remember this day because right now I don't have any doubts whatsoever. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that the Holy Spirit has come into my heart, my mind, and my life. I know my sins are forgiven. I could feel it spiritually. I could feel it emotionally. I could feel it physically even. And I knew 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I knew and I said, I can't afford to forget this, but a lot of people do forget, don't they? Remember what you received and heard. Hold fast to it and repent. Go back to your first love, as it says earlier in Revelation. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. Now, Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night to a lost, unbelieving world, but he's not supposed to surprise the church. We're supposed to be watching and praying and expecting. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 40. If thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. We really, really, really need revival in a lot of churches. I thank God for Spencerport Bible Church, and I'm not here to flatter you, but you can feel the Spirit here. And I think anyone here that has the Holy Spirit would agree with that pretty quickly. It's fairly obvious. God's doing a wonderful work here. God's doing a great work, and we ought to praise him for it. We ought to thank him for it. We ought to give him the glory. But I wish I could say that of every church that names the name of Christ, and I can't. Our country, our world is in trouble today because the world's gotten into the church more than the church has gotten into the world. But here, Jesus says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Imagine that, walking with Jesus in white. Walking with Jesus in white. What higher honor could there be than that? I'm looking forward to that. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. But he loved me enough to give it to me. And all he asked me to do is believe him. Trust him. Take him at his word. And if you can't trust Jesus, if you can't believe Jesus, who can you trust? Who can you believe in? He's the way, the truth, and the life. But he says, a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. That means most of the people in this church at Sardis had defiled their garments. How had they defiled their garments? By sinning, by compromising, by putting the flesh ahead of the spirit, by putting the world ahead of the things of God. And I have a message for every person here today, myself definitely included, and it's this. Is there anything in my life, is there anything in your life that keeps you from being, as they said in Sunday school today, wholly devoted? Wholly, 100% devoted. I was at a renewal of vows yesterday at Glad Tidings Church, and a couple renewed their vows. They'd been married for 40 years. And when the minister stood up there and had led the renewal of vows, he didn't say, do you promise to love your wife 75% of the time? It was 100%. It was all the time. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind and soul and heart and strength. All of it. All the time. Because that's what he does with us. Romans chapter 8 at the end of the chapter says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. I like that. That gives me a real sense of security. I don't have any confidence in my flesh, but I have an awful lot of confidence in Jesus Christ. He's never failed, and he never will. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But we have to receive it willingly before we have it. Jesus has come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. But one of the few times in the Bible where Jesus wept, he wept over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not come to me. It broke Jesus' heart that his own people, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. Wonderful thing about Jesus Christ is he never rejects anyone. Whosoever will, let them come and drink of the water of the fountain of life freely. We got to take a drink. We got to receive. And once we've received, it's an eternal gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If Jesus Christ is going to confess my name before God the Father and all the angels in heaven, I'm on pretty solid ground. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. Does Jesus deserve what he wants? Absolutely yes. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. One of the things God put on my heart today is this. I've met, and again, God knows my heart. I'm not trying to flatter you. If I was going to flatter you, I'd ask you for money afterwards. So I'm not trying to flatter you. I tell you how good looking you are. So I'm not trying to flatter you, but I'll tell you this. I have enough spiritual discernment to know this. God's planted some spiritual giants in this church. God's planted some people that really love the Lord in this church. People that are faithful. People that are filled with the Holy Spirit. People that are on fire for Jesus Christ. If each and every one of the members of Spencerport Bible Church, each and every one without exception, can do what it says here. Be watchful and repent. If there's anything in your lives that ought not to be there. You see, a lot of times, Christians are pretty good people, they're pretty strong people, they're pretty lovable people, they're polite, they're friendly, they're courteous, they're clean living. But the world, the flesh, and the devil like to give us one Achilles heel, don't they? One thorn in the flesh, one weak spot. And that one weak spot, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they whisper to us, well, nobody's perfect. You're not going to be perfect in this life. You might as well accept the fact you're not going to be perfect. You know, all the time I was in college, anytime I took a test, I wanted 100. I was greedy. I wanted 100. And if I knew all the right answers, and I always put the right answer. I never said, well, you're never going to be perfect in this life, so put a couple wrong answers. I wanted to do the best I could. And when Jesus Christ poured out his life for me and poured out his life for you and shed his blood for me and shed his blood for you, he's worthy of everything we are and everything we have and everything we do, not just 75% or 80% or 90%. We're supposed to take up a cross and follow him and no longer live for self. And sometimes that one Achilles heel, that one thorn in the flesh is enough to keep us from being filled with the Spirit and being used far more powerfully by God than we are. I want God to use me to the fullest. But if he doesn't, it's not his fault, is it? I have to do my part. He's already done his part. And if I surrender completely and do my very best to obey him in all things, I know I won't end up perfect, but when I fall, he'll lift me up. When I fail, I'll repent. But God looks on the heart. Do I want to serve God, or do I want to get away with as much as I can? If every person in every Bible-believing church would say, I want to serve the Lord with my whole heart, and I know there's some things in my life that just aren't completely right, and I'm going to give them up because I love God that much, and I'm going to focus on spiritual things, I'm going to spend more time reading the Bible and less time watching certain TV shows, let's say. I support the TV writer's strike and the movie writer's strike, don't you? I hope they never come back. I think it's the first good thing they've ever done. Because there is so much filth and blasphemy and violence in these TV shows and movies that if I never saw another one, I'd be fine. And I'll tell you what, give it a chance. And you know and I know there's a lot more to be gotten from the Bible than there is from Days of Our Lives. I don't even know if that's on TV anymore, but I'm still living in the 50s. You got to excuse me for that. But this is what God wants. And the church at Sardis, it probably started out as a pretty good church because it was probably started out by a pretty good apostle. But with the passing of time and the world sneaking in and the devil working overtime, they forgot a lot about their first love. They forgot a lot about all that Jesus had done for them and all that Jesus was doing for them and all that Jesus would do for them and their children and their children's children and their children's children's children. We've got other generations to care about too, you know. And they need the Lord. And they need to see that their parents and grandparents, our first love is Jesus Christ. And they need to see why. I think there's an awful lot of people, might be wrong, but I might be right. But I think there's an awful lot of people that if we could just get them under the Word of God, the Holy Spirit would do the rest of the work and draw them to Jesus Christ and draw them to salvation. But as long as they're spending Sundays at soccer practice and football practice and movies and games and stuff like that, they're not going to get saved that way. This is holy ground. And the Holy Spirit's here. And he's powerful. And he can do great works. But we've got to get people. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And again, I'm talking to every church, not just this one, you understand. God bless you. I'll tell you what, I've been looking forward to preaching here ever since Domenico asked me to, you know, because I was so blessed last time I was here. Last two times I was here. I was here for Kenya night, and I was here in January to preach, and I felt like I was at my second home. It was just such a wonderful experience. I was with brothers and sisters, not strangers. But we need more brothers and sisters, more children and grandchildren. We need more spiritual gifts being used to the fullest. We need more people on fire. John Wesley told his students, he said, set yourself on fire for God and people come and watch you burn. You ever hear that? That's always a good saying. He also said something else that I quote a lot. He said to his preaching students, he said, Go out and preach, and if nobody gets angry at you and nobody's offended by what you say and nobody gets upset with you, you weren't called to preach. So, fortunately, I've never doubted my calling. I offend people every time I open my mouth. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who are perishing, but to we who are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. And I already mentioned faith comes by hearing and hearing by the God. Some people just need to hear it. That's the only thing missing. They just need to hear it. So the church of Sardis, Jesus is saying, listen, you're on your last legs. You think you're good because you got a lot of people in, you got a good offering, you got nice music and stuff like that, but you're missing the main point. Get to work. Time's short. And you'll love the rewards. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Father, search each one of our hearts with the light of the Holy Spirit. See if there be some wicked way in me. And if there is, convict me by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. If anyone here is harboring sin, whether knowingly or unknowingly, you love us enough to set us free. You love us enough to give us the very best, which is a Spirit-filled life. So no matter how long we've been a Christian, no matter how long we've gone to church, if there's a need in our life for any type of repentance, if there's a need in our life for any type of rededication, Lord, draw us with the Holy Spirit now as you did when you saved us. We want to be wholly devoted to Jesus Christ. And we know with you, all things are possible. God bless you.